Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your...
All right, let's welcome in someone who also has just heard of 495, may not have ever seen it. Lenny Clark. Lenny!
Beto, Zoe! Hi, you're absolutely right, but Zoe, you left out one key way to get to the cave.
What?
The bear went on the garbage train. That's how he got over.
Oh!
Yeah, man, because a buddy of mine worked on the train. He saw the bear. He nearly... Well, I got to watch my language. He nearly...
Don't worry about it. We got a dump button.
So he was on the garbage train.
He took the garbage train over the canal. That's how he got back.
That's probably how the raccoons got over there, too.
Brilliant.
Now, I don't know how the rest of them got there, but that bear was on the garbage train.
Wow, that's good info. Okay, thank you, Lenny.
Hey, Lenny.
You know, I listened to you guys, and I thought I could add something. I also wanted to tell you, I am sick that the Bruins could have been in Vegas because our buddy, Georgie McPhee, is the GM out there. We could have raged. We could have raged like you're a dream about.
Imagine the amount of money you lost from not doing shows in Vegas that week with Boston people.
Oh, my God. You know what? I would have took the week off just for the games. Are you kidding me? We should be there.
We should be there anyway. I think we should go. We should still go.
Lenny, you got any bears in the vineyard?
Is there
a trash boat?
No. Well, you know what? I think there is a trash boat, but it's pretty much just leaving. It's not coming. And we don't have bears. We do have deer, and we have raccoons, and we have skunks, because this nitwit brought skunks to the vineyard, and then they multiplied. Now we have a bunch of skunks, which sucks.
Why the hell would somebody
do that?
It's like Noah's Ark.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I think he was pissed because they wouldn't let him cut some trees down, so we brought in skunks and said, I'll show you.
How long ago was this, Lenny?
I like that guy.
When did this happen?
About 40 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, you're a wealth of information today, Lenny.
Yeah, this is a job, Len.
When it comes to animals, I mean, it's not that I have sex with animals.
No.
But if I did have sex with animals, I would have sex with a horse. That way, when you're done, you get a ride home.
Hey, Lenny. You did an inning the other night, and I lost it because I called Bertrand and I said, are you watching this?
Oh, that's
is
right.
Are the lights home in Johnny Gomes' head? Give me the right. Does he not know who you are at all?
No, well, you know, I was fortunate enough to meet Johnny when I was down at Dave.
Lenny?
Oh, boy.
We lost him.
What happened?
Skunk got him.
It's okay.
Hello?
I just hear like a hissing noise.
Josh?
Hello?
Is Josh there?
Hello?
Hello? Well, we don't know.
All right.
So that kind of answers your question, though. He had met Johnny Gomes
before. I want to know the answer.
Well, he said he met him. He said he met him before.
He's probably going to tell us like he totally forgot who I was.
All right, we got him back.
Oh,
Lenny's
yes.
back. Lenny,
go.
So I never forget you. Are you kidding me? I'm in the woods of Connecticut. I'm worried about Sasquatch down here. I'm at Fox.
Put her out there.
Doing a big thing for Duncan. But, yeah, no, I met Johnny down at David's time, and I believe he remembered me. I hope he did. But he was very nice, and I had a ball doing that.
Okay.
Oh, that's depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to rip him.
I like Johnny. You know why? He was a great teammate.
He's an American.
Remember that.
Yeah.
He was a great teammate. And, you know, I mean, hey, listen, we won a World Series with that guy. Come on.
And because of him, that's right.
That's right. When he kicked that helmet,
he was the reason why.
You choose him to go to war with.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I would go to war with Gomes. Yeah, but right. Put him in front of me.
All right, Lenny.
See you, Lenny.
The call.
Have a good one.
Hey, listen, guys. I'm doing a 150-mile bike ride for MS.
When are you doing that?
You training?
Yeah. Can you believe this? So, and I tell you, you should see the bike I was on was like the Wicked Witch of the West, but the people at Wheelworks in summer will hook me up with a bike.
Not
I did 45 miles yesterday, and I got to tell you, It's amazing. It's the hottest thing I've ever done.
I saw you at this thing last year, Lenny. We were both there at the kickoff, and these people are waiting to get on their bikes and ride all the way to the Cape, and Lenny decides he's going to stand up and do 10 minutes. Oh, it was fantastic.
I should have kept my mouth shut. Now I'm going to pedal. And thank God I don't have kids, because my sperm is dead and my tank is ruined.
See you, Lenny. Protect that ass. Oh, my God. Here we are, having a debate on how the damn bear got to Cape Cod, and this guy's got internal information on the bear.
He knew the reason. He knew how.
His buddy saw the bear in the train.
His buddy works the trash train.
Imagine that, getting a free ride like that, moving and eating at the same time. That bear is in heaven. And he was going to Cape.
That bear's no dummy.
No traffic, no stopping.
A feast on the trash
train. Oh, my God. He's probably telling everybody else about it. Like, hey, what are you doing this summer? No, I got it. Listen to me.
Summer on the Cape.
Here's what you do.
And there's a trash train.
No, the only guy's going to kick you off. Let me tell you how smart this guy is. He's buddies with Lenny Clark, okay? So chances are he's not even going to spot you, much less kick you off. What does he care? Oh, no, we're good. Come on down. Bring the kids. It's fantastic.
Has he plugged more things than me?
He's pretty good. He's
a good plugger.
He's more coy about them.
Yeah.
When he's talking about his...
No, he's subtle.
Yeah. His Somerville bike
smooth.
Shop there.
Smooth.
I love seeing Lenny do like 5-10 minutes at places where...
Uncut
they
is,
want,
is
yeah,
phenomenal.
They, and they want him there, and he does a great job at all this stuff.
Yeah.
But, and at the bike thing last year was a kind of a serious cause. So, no, he wasn't doing any comedy, so to speak. But we did a luncheon together, too. Like in the middle of the day, at 1 o'clock on a Thursday at a restaurant. And he's going to get up there, and he did like 15, 20. And he was hysterical. But I was laughing even harder at the people who were uncomfortable about it.
It's the best part of the show.
It's the best part. And 80% of the people there loved it. It's the 20% who didn't know this was going to be happening at 1:30 on a Thursday.
That's their problem.
At Capitol Grill.
Yeah.
That's their problem.
And it just sort of happened.
Yeah, go!
Sorry,
no!
Door's right there.
Push it!
Yeah.
Push it!
Yes.
It's great.
Lenny stopped by in our studio, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
And I was telling him about seeing Tosh in Vegas and how people had walked out. People had walked out of the show.
Right.
And he was like, well, why'd you go to a comedy show? What are you doing? What are you walking out for? And I said, you know what it is? I said, you're in Vegas. You've got people that are in the hotel that are high rollers, that are people that are,
hey, take these tickets.
That are getting comped rooms and comp tickets. And,
and
they probably got offered tickets and said, I'll go to a show. And then they go and they realize they don't like what's being said.
Oh,
that whole town is not for people who are easily offended.
Right.
If you're easily offended or faint of heart, or you have delicate sensibilities, just, stay out of Nevada. That's probably your best bet, but certainly stay out of Las Vegas. It's not for you.
I was in tears. Yeah, that guy had me in tears laughing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
And Lenny says he gets away with more than anybody else now because it's hard. It's a very politically correct world.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's been doing it consistently for so long.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
He's so freaking funny.
So I was just cracking up. So I was losing it.
One rant. I can't repeat it.
I'm still laughing about the horse joke. It's good. Yeah.
Nick and Uxbridge. Nick and Uxbridge has a point on the 04 Pistons.
Oh,
hey, Nick.
Jesus.
Oh, man, you can't make me follow up.
Yes, I can. I just did.
No, it's all right. I want to talk, talk about the team and the championship that should have been the story of the calendar year 2004 if it weren't for those pesky Red Sox. Orchestrated the greatest comeback in the history of sports. But go ahead.
Now, my point was more, I see this team more as a mix of that 04 Pistons team with the defense and that 2012 Thunder team that had Westbrook, KD, and Harden on it. They kind of went to the finals that year. They had more talent against them. They were young. They ended up learning from it. I think this team has more of a chance of doing it in the future. But I think that's a better comp, kind of a mix. We're younger than that Thunder team. We have a defense like that Pistons team. And secondly, last point, these crazy Celtics fans calling in trying to trade Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. What's the point? Take 2 steps forward, 5 steps back? What are they thinking? Thanks, guys.
I don't know how you can seriously consider trading that guy after what you gave up to get him, which was, as we've been talking about a lot today, not a lot.
Thievery.
Thievery. You stole him to begin with, and now that you got him, you saw him play for, let's call it 2/3 of the season. Sound about right? Maybe 3/4? Were you not watching? You not see what kind of basketball player he is when he can be the man? When he can be the guy out there? No. You keep him for as long as he's willing to play here. You make it so he wants to stay, and you keep that guy.
More Celtics thoughts, and we touch on the Carson Smith situation that unfolded at Fenway Park yesterday. Next.
Are they aliens? Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
+119 here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Carson Smith to the DL for the Red Sox, that you knew already. A couple of days ago when he talked about the incident in which he threw his glove because he was angry and had his shoulder pop out and pop back in, a subluxation of the shoulder. Mm. He blamed part of it on fatigue.
I think it's a freak accident. I mean, I think fatigue played a factor in my shoulder, and my shoulders couldn't handle it. I think my shoulder's tired in general. Yeah, it's just from pitching. I mean, I've done a lot lately, and I think my arm is just tired.
As a matter of fact, I just think it's from fatigue and just from pitching a lot lately, and it's just a freak thing, and just so nonchalant, just not a big deal.
What a goof.
Okay, the implication from Carson Smith there is that fatigue, being overuse, was part of the problem.
Yeah, it's kind of like
why he injured his arm.
Interpretation, his shoulder. I was used wrongly. They wore me out.
It's a shot at his manager there for overuse, or a shot at the staff for overusing him. Alex Cora was asked about it yesterday. Alex Cora talked about it in his radio interview, his weekly radio hit. And then Christopher Smith, who covers the Red Sox for Mass Live, went directly to the player Carson Smith to ask him if he could sort of clarify what it is that he was saying when he said it was fatigue, whether that was, you know, implying that the manager, did he take a shot at the manager by saying he had been overused? And so what did Carson Smith do? Again, here's the tweet that I read earlier. Christopher Smith, Mass Live, said, "I just asked Carson Smith if he could set the record straight as to what he meant in regards to being used a lot and whether he might be blaming Cora for overuse. He said he had, quote, no comment, and added, I've said what I need to say." Which, again, is pretty much doubling down, if you ask me. If you ask a player, did you take a shot at your manager? If you weren't taking a shot at the manager, you'd want to say, no, I wasn't doing that. I was just saying that, you know, whatever. He didn't do that. He said, no, I have no comment. I've said what I need to say. Pretty much telling Christopher Smith, nope, you interpreted it the correct way. I took a shot at the manager. So then, after that goes down, you've got Alex Cora at the podium pregame last night putting his foot down.
I don't agree with it. On a daily basis, we talk to pitchers and how they feel. And if they don't feel they can pitch that day, we stay away from them. So it caught me by surprise. But, you know, if he felt that way, he should have told it to us. We should have mentioned it. But actually, there was a day in, where was it, New York or Toronto? New York, I think, that we talked, and he said he wasn't available that day, and we stayed with him.
There was a day in New York, even, that Carson Smith told the manager he wasn't available, and therefore Alex Cora said, okay, you're not available, you're not in the game, because Alex Cora has a policy of pitchers openly communicating how they feel and when they're available to pitch and when they're not available to pitch.
Right.
Like, Carson Smith,
it's just that simple.
As of earlier this week, had pitched in just as many games as the other primary relievers in the bullpen. 18 games. He had pitched fewer innings than all those other guys. Barnes, Hembree, Kimbrell. He had pitched fewer innings than all those guys.
What is
but
it with the
in
pitchers
his
here?
Mind, he had been used a little too much in recent days. I think it was 6 out of 9 games that he had been used, and that was a problem for him. That's why when he got all pouty like your 10-year-old at Little League throwing his glove, and he ripped his shoulder out of its socket because he was so angry and in a fit of rage throwing his glove around.
He does that all the time. Ask Joe Kelly. When they play Kelly, he does that all the time.
He now wants to blame the manager. He wants to call it a freak accident. That's not a freak accident. That's your own doing. That's something you did. That was a decision in your brain that was made because you were angry. You wanted to blow off steam by throwing your glove as hard as you can. And what did you do? You threw out your shoulder. You popped it right out.
Do you need to hear from Dombrowski on this?
And somehow it's about fatigue. It's about overuse. It's about the fact that he always trains with the glove by throwing it. It's all these excuses that have nothing to do with him just coming to grips with the fact that he hurt himself because he couldn't contain his emotions. That's what it comes down to. He was so upset that he hurt himself. And that's probably tough to accept, given that he just rehabbed and came back from Tommy John surgery and hadn't pitched for a very long time. But to put it on anybody but Carson Smith is immature. It is childish. It's a loser mentality. Yeah, it sucks. I'm sure it does. That thing sucks to come to grips with. I could see if you just did it once in the heat of the moment right after it happened. This guy now for days has continued to double down on this, triple down on this, and blame everybody but himself.
Who was the kicker blew his knee out? Martin Gramatica? Wasn't he the one that did the jump and blew his knee out?
No, it was the brother, sober. Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Well, that's right, Billy Gramatica. Yeah. Did he blame the coach for that? Or is that on him? Freak thing.
And all of this would be acceptable if maybe he had hurt himself in the activity of the baseball game, throwing pitches,
that's
warming
you sorry
up,
for.
Doing something right. Related to baseball.
The pitcher that blows out his arm and has his arm hanging
while
he's on the mound.
Because
looks
he's on the mound.
It.
He's throwing pitches. And all of a sudden he suffers an injury as a result of pitching.
I've got a lot of chirp back at for that. Like, he's out there playing, trying to do the best he can. What's the problem? He hurt himself pitching. Do you not understand this?
Who hurt himself
people
pitching?
I'm killing him on Twitter. People just chirping back. Don't you understand he hurt himself pitching? It's the wear and tear of pitching throughout the course of the year.
No, it's not.
No, it isn't.
He didn't hurt himself in the game.
He just told you it was a freak thing. And the GM sat there and apologized. He said he's very sorry.
Don't jump to conclusions that because he, you know, again, popped out his shoulder that was going to happen the next time he went out. Because there's that argument, too. Oh, if it didn't happen then, it would have just happened when he was pitching.
Right.
Says who? Those are not the same motions. Violently throwing a glove, which is not a baseball, in anger, in a fit of rage, is not the same as going out and throwing pitches and trying to execute on the mound. Stop it. Don't fool yourself into believing that.
And if he did feel fatigued, and he was fatigued, why are you going to go pick something up that's heavier than a baseball if you're already fatigued and throw that?
Because you got caught up in it and you did a stupid thing.
You're a petulant brat.
But you know what? Everyone does stupid things. We all do stupid things.
Yep.
After you do the stupid thing, you say, you know what? That was dumb.
Thing.
That's on me. And I'm sorry. That's dumb. And I take responsibility. And you know what? If that had happened, we're not talking about this today. We're not. We've already spent way too much time on Carson Smith, who's given this team way too little since getting traded here. It's going to go down as a bad one for Dave Dombrowski.
You need
we're
to hear
already
from
giving
him?
This guy too much time.
Dombrowski
but the reason
spoke.
Why is because he won't just say that it was a bad mistake. Okay. Everyone makes a mistake. Everyone screws up. You might get criticized for a day, but then it's over. You take responsibility. He refuses to.
He does
what's worse. He puts it on somebody else that had nothing to do with it. And I think the good sign out of yesterday was that the manager's not going to take it. He hit his limit on that.
Wait a minute.
He protected him day one.
Yep.
Day two, he says, hell no. Nope, I disagree. In fact, all you have to do to not pitch is tell me. And this guy knows that because when we were in New York, he told me he wasn't available in one of those games. And I said, okay, you won't pitch today. Done.
Simple
Done.
Math here. This is what Core did. You know, you're all on the same page. Dombrowski, him, all Paul, Jeff, everybody was on the same page. And it seems like Core got more information on how he heard it and why he heard it. Probably got together with the doctors, the trainers, and said, okay, I protected him. Now he's making me look bad. And if he wants to say that and double down on it, call me out, I'll put it out there. I'm not doing what John Farrell did. This is different. This is my team. This is the way I'm going to run it. And I applaud Core for that. Put it on the player if it's a player's fault. Understand the times, there's times you need to protect your players. And I think he tried to do this at the beginning, and then he got more information on how he actually got hurt when you talk to actual medical people who probably evaluated the player. Do you think you need to hear from Dombrowski again? Because he was kind of on the same page, too, at the beginning. Now that Dave has more information, and this is the guy he traded for, maybe he should hear from him, too.
Not sure I care to hear from
him.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter
I care more about the clubhouse.
Right.
It's core and the players. So. A lot of time spent on Carson Smith today. Whew. A guy that's giving you nothing. If I'm David Price, I send him flowers. Like, hey, thanks for taking it off me a little bit here, buddy. But at least I went out and pitched last week.
David Price goes again tonight.
Ooh, big one.
What are you looking for?
Six strong. Maybe two runs.
You guys are just outside. What's the current temperature?
It's quite nice. It's not cold and nasty.
No. It's balmy.
I'd say 72 and humid.
I just checked. Here in Brighton, it's currently 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yep. Humidity is up.
Oh, well, that should be good. That should be nice, warm weather for the pitcher, David Price, to go out and with his, you know, circulation and mild carpal. And I'll tell you what, though. I did see on the news last night the allergy counts today. The pollen and the poplar.
You sound a little stubborn.
And the oak. A little bit of oak in there today.
I like oak.
According to Harvey Leonard.
Nice oaky finish.
And a little oaky finish out there today. Some of those, you know, those particles are in the air. It's going to be very tough. I hope he took a Zyrtec or Claritin or maybe a little Flonase.
Maybe that's why the bear is already groggy.
Get a couple squirts of Afrin to clean you out. Get you breathing easy.
Could literally be blinding for him.
I don't want that. But here we go. David Price on the mound tonight against a bad team. So Orioles, let's go. Mow him down. Mow him down.
This is what he skipped the Yankees for, right? These next two starts. Blue Jays, Orioles. We joked.
As of yesterday, we joked. The second worst record in baseball. But trending, having won five of their last seven. Going
into
yesterday.
We joked not knowing the schedule when he got bounced from New York. Oh, wait, he's probably waiting for either the Orioles or the Blue Jays. And bang, bang, did he have those both set up next.
Yeah.
Nice little get back into it for him.
1-7-7-7-9-0-9-8-5. Your calls on everything from the day. The Celtics, Eastern Conference Finals, Kyrie Irving. Got that in the mix.
Canadian women.
Canadian women visiting the Tim Hortons and leaving a present.
Hello, Jones.
On the floor. Hey, Jonesy. Got that. The Newton Bear. Red Sox, Carson Smith, Alex Cora. Did he earn some more respect yesterday for putting his foot down on Carson Smith? The bozo that guy is. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
As we were just discussing, the Orioles are in town tonight for the first of four. David Price gets the start at Fenway Park after the Sox got the 6-4 win over the A's last night. Meanwhile, the Celtics will take on the Cavaliers Saturday night in Cleveland. Danny Ainge on with Touch and Rich this morning. There's still a chance with a certain player named Shane Larkin, right?
You know, we're just taking it week by week right now. We're not counting on him coming back, but, I mean, I'll leave the door open a little bit for him to come back in another series if we get that far.
Last night, the Rockets beat Golden State 127-105. That series now tied at one game each. Stanley Cup playoffs continue tonight. Capitals host the Lightning. They're up 2-1. The Golden Knights are now up 2-1 over Winnipeg after they got a 4-2 win last night. Headlines are brought to you by Ace Ticket. They have the best deals on seats with the outstanding customer service you deserve. Visit aceticket.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Slide on all your nights like this. 136. Zolak and Bertrand. What happened? Nobody wanted to wait through the break? We had all kinds of calls and they bailed on us. What's up with that?
Oh my God, what should we do?
What's up with that, guys?
What should we do without all those great calls we had from today?
Well, you treated every one of them like a, I don't know.
I didn't. There's only like two.
So we should recap. What did you like about today's show?
Yeah, what did you like today?
The poo story was fun. The update on the bear. Trashing Carson Smith. Giving Cora props.
Who?
Cora.
Alex Cora.
Alex Cora. Giving him props for sort of setting things straight. Lenny Clark chimed in. We got an update on the bear. So double down on the bear story.
So you didn't like any of the Celtics
everything
stuff?
Everything but the 2.5 hours of Celtics stuff.
But by the way, Jim,
Wait for game three.
You can be the judge.
I can't wait for game three.
It was a decent 2.5 hours
it was
in
great.
The Celtics.
It was really good.
One of our better days, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought our Celtics discussion, I liked our Celtics discussion a lot.
I really liked that Hardy thinks that the Celtics are now the 0-4 Pistons.
Yeah, we kind of bridged that. We got a little what's his name? Chauncey Billups got his, was it Chauncey? That song you played? That was nice.
You've basically treated the callers today like the woman in the Tim Hortons treated the staff at Tim Hortons.
I'd never do that.
I'm pretty sure you've done that.
Yeah, I
today.
Love our callers.
Not in a literal sense, obviously, a figurative sense, but the same type of treatment.
I have fun with the callers sometimes.
I don't know that I'd call it fun. I don't know that it's in good fun.
We haven't talked to Tony and Shirley in a long time. He called. It feels like it's been about 3 or 4 weeks with him.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe Zoe scared away all the callers.
No, I don't think so, considering we've had loaded lines since we came on. I think people were entertained by our Celtic discussion. That's why they were calling. I just like when you start trading Kyrie because Terry Rozier's on fire right now. I think it's a little crazy.
Do you want a recap of how you've treated the callers today?
What are you talking about?
A recap? I can get a recap.
Why would there be a recap?
Because we roll on the show.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's, you guys having a little fun back
there? You guys have a recap? Diane is in Concord. Hi, Diane.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good morning.
Kevin in the car on Kyrie Irving.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, how's it going?
Dylan's in Dedham. Hi, Dylan.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Michael?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Yes. Ahead. How are you?
Let's go to Brian in Leominster.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Ricky's in Plymouth. Ricky.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, what's up, Ricky?
Good. Things are well.
I think we should keep Kyrie and Gordon and let them see
how... Albert's in Rhode Island. Hey, Albert.
How's it going, guys?
What's happening?
How's it going, Albert?
George in Methuen. Hi, George.
What's up, George?
I sort of got nothing. I don't realize I'm doing it.
Sneaky Dicky to the callers.
I knew I
not
was
not really sneaky anymore. We've already asked.
I knew
him
I
to
did
stop.
It to Albert because Albert always calls me. Tony,
how about man. If we go back? If you were to rewind, actually, I'll save it. I'll save it for the takeaway. Right. I got something else for takeaways.
Ooh,
I
good.
Just thought of
nice.
All right, related to this email of the day. Though here's an email of the day came in yesterday. Zoe did not get this email. It was addressed to myself and Hardy.
Oh, it's good.
We each got this email. It says,
"Email of the day."
It says, "Hey, Mark. Hello, Hardy.
Oh, this was came in yesterday.
This from Andy?
It came in yesterday afternoon.
Andy, the dentist.
He said, "Quick pleasantry. Love the show. The banter between you guys has me cracking up regularly. Keep up the great work." It's very nice of you. This email's from Casey. Thank you, Casey. He says, so I can imagine it's tough running, and I don't know if it's, I think it's a he. I don't know, it could be a she. One of those names, it could go either way.
Mm.
It's Casey with a C. Emailer writes, so I can imagine it's tough running a radio program while trying to ignore some of the off-the-wall passing comments from Zoe.
Oh.
He says, I loved in all caps, the cuts of Zoe mocking every caller's greeting. I notice him doing it often. I hate to say it, but it's sneaky funny.
I'm tired of sneaky things.
He says, jokes aside, I was watching Wheel of Fortune, and it struck me that Pat Sajak does the same thing to almost every contestant.
He gets bored. You imagine how many times he's been doing it.
He said, yeah. I didn't want to have Zoe YouTube it and feed his habit, but if you guys check out the clips, it sounds just like Zoe. I wonder who is taking cues from whom. Thanks for the laughs, Casey.
I'm 90% sure that Casey is a guy. I think he's also a golfer and... does some stuff on Twitter with that, so
okay,
it's a guy,
it is a he.
and yeah,
I made that assumption. And Pat, I thought, oh wait a minute, what if it's not a he?
And Pat Sajak, think about how many shows they do in a day. How many do you think they?
Oh, they bang out like 12 a day.
No,
yeah, oh yeah.
Boom.
He
boom,
works like
boom.
Like 30 days a year.
It's a good
I
gig.
It's daily.
Oh, it's a good gig. No. Tape few days.
Here it is. Oh, quote from Pat Sajak in 2011.
And what they make?
We shoot 35 times a year. 35 days a year they shoot the show.
Oh, it's like Phil Simms.
Could you imagine? It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a football season.
We shoot 35 times a year, 35 days a year, but it's stretched out over 9 months. It's not exactly the most grueling schedule you've ever heard.
Oh, really, Pat?
How many shows do you shoot in a day? Usually 6. We can crank them out pretty quickly. A typical day for us is we'll start at noon, and by 6 o'clock, we'll have 6 shows done with 2 different audiences.
6 new suits a day, baby.
We're
pretty efficient.
Wait a
minute. Whoa, 2 audiences?
Yeah.
So you get 3 shows.
So if you go as an audience member, you get to stay for 3 shows.
That's a pretty good deal.
So it only takes 30 minutes to shoot a show.
Boom, 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 boom.
So, yeah, I would think they should be able to
without commercials, even less.
Crank out 3 in the first 2 hours, change the audience over. No, I think they hold a block like with the commercial, with the studio audience sitting there for the duration of the commercial block. I don't know why. I'm sure somebody in television production could tell us why, but I think they actually sit through that, that time.
35 days a year.
Oh.
You know how much he makes?
Oh, he makes absurd money.
$18 million
more than that. It's like $40 million a year. It's
something
crazy.
She makes like four.
I'm reading here. The Hollywood Reporter says $15 million.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, for 35 days.
Wasn't as high as
Judge
they thought
it was. Judge Judy makes like 30.
Right. $15 million a year.
Look up the woman that left Fox.
I figured he would make more considering the TV deal that's been talked a lot about is, what's her name? Megyn Kelly, who went to NBC.
Look up her money.
They gave her $69 million over 3 years.
Have you seen any of her shows?
No, because nobody has, because the ratings are dog crap.
It's,
nobody watches it.
She was so good on Fox, and like what she did, and it's like, it's not her on her show. Like, oh, well, you got exposed.
Yeah,
not talk show host.
A lot of money. No. You would think Pat different. Sajak would make more than that, considering
a little bit different being
Sajak,
anchor.
His show does ratings.
What does Alex Trebek make?
It's a great
now
question.
That's a man who deserves every penny.
Trebek.
He's sneaky dicky.
How much smarter do you think he's gotten from doing that show? Because you retain
Trebek,
most of...
Trebek, as of 2015, was making $10 million a year.
Underpaid.
Underpaid, I agree.
That's why they say be more repetitive. The more you tell something, you have an 80% chance, better chance of learning it than just reading it. They're actually saying it out loud.
Hmm.
That's how I can absorb so many things.
Because you constantly mutter to yourself?
I don't forget it. Once it's out, I mean, I may skim over it and miss it, but once it's out of my mouth, I don't forget it.
Well, just last week, we quizzed you on the names of Beatles' children.
Yeah.
And who are they?
Ben, Will, and Drew.
Good.
Okay. Quick.
See, he's got that thing. Once he definitely stores it in there, it's never...
Drew, sneaky hard one, because it's really, it's Andrew, but it's Drew, and...
Both are acceptable.
And then, like, because, like, he was like, hi, Drew! Like, I never thought, boy, his name is Kid Drew, you know?
Tom's girlfriend. Said her name out loud.
Oh. Okay, remember Tom's name.
How about Jim's kids?
Oh, God. Come on. Little Jimmy. James Lout the third and Julia.
The fourth.
Good.
The fourth.
Good job.
I'm sorry, y'all blend together. Good y'all look alike.
Yeah.
Good job. Blocks.
Looks like Vanna White makes just as much as Pat Sajak.
Obviously.
Just turn the letter.
Obviously.
Hey, don't say anything. Just
people are calling saying $40 million, so maybe you got that number.
Yeah, I thought it was $40 million.
I'm just going by this Hollywood Reporter.
He'd make it 15.
So people have called saying it's 40, and then we have it wrong.
He'd make it 15.
I believe it. I believe them that it's something absurd like that. Like Judge
good for him.
Money.
Good if you can get it.
Today's takeaways are next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now. Damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This hour, Zolak and Bertrand, driven by Acura, Peabody's Spring Savings Event. Get a 2018 Acura RDX all-wheel drive luxury crossover for just $205 a month for 36 months. AcuraPeabody.com.
Got to say, Felger was in the building early today. It was a little unsettling for everybody. For everybody. He's been here for close to over an hour, right?
Well, Maz has been here since 8:30.
Already. Very much a Maz move. Maz likes to get here. Usually, I don't know...
Phil's locker
an
up
hour
with
before
weird
Toucher
stuff.
And Rich comes to a close. You know, likes to be here for all three shows.
It's Costco on the way in
during the daytime hours.
He's got that magic blender in there, just making shakes and stuff. Hey, time now for the Awaken 180 Weight Loss Takeaway of the Day. Take away your excess weight for life. The official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Awaken180weightloss.com. Go ahead, Artie.
Want me to go first?
Yeah,
I'm going to go first. Oh. Sort of a follow up to the last segment. Your treatment of the callers today. Your treatment of the callers also applied to Carson Smith today. Did you know this?
I did not.
Yes, have a listen.
I think it's a freak accident. I mean, I think fatigue played a factor in my shoulder, and my shoulders couldn't handle it. I think my shoulder's tired in general. Yeah, it's just from pitching. I mean, I've thrown a lot lately, and I think my arm was just tired.
As a matter of fact, I think it's from fatigue and pitching a lot lately. It's just a freak thing, and just so nonchalant, just not a big deal.
What a goof.
Not just the callers.
Not just the callers.
It's not a big deal.
Callers, Carson Smith.
Yeah, just so fatigued.
Everyone get the Zoe treatment today.
I got tired.
Hey, keep rolling me out there. Oh, I threw 14 total innings this year, but I'm fatigued.
Yeah. Ernie Adams now is Carson Smith.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Oh, no, Bill. I think we should run that double stack to the backside. So here, you kick it for two here. You go for 2 points, and then we do an onside kick.
Yeah, challenge the play, Bill.
Yeah, challenge.
Challenge. Throw the flag. Do you think we should? I was going to do one of two things.
What?
Either us or you guys, really, singing Van Morrison, Brown Eyed Girl.
Well, I don't know if that's good.
Or the reason why we were singing it.
I think the reason why.
All right,
that's
very good.
The recap.
Then we go out to, I believe this was Langley.
Was it Brown Eyed Girl or Brown Eyed?
British Columbia. I don't know.
Vancouver.
Vancouver.
There's Flannery, Vancouver.
Flannery?
Yeah.
We'll find out. Let's listen.
Langley?
The RCMP is investigating a disgusting attack on employees at a Tim Hortons in Langley tonight, and we should warn you right away, some viewers may find the details upsetting. CTV's Ben Milger reports on a dispute over the restaurant washroom that quickly got out of control.
In this security video from a Langley City Tim Hortons on Monday, a woman can be seen arguing with staff. Suddenly, she unties the sweater around her waist and pulls her pants partway down. We are not showing what happens next as the woman defecates on the floor. She then throws the feces at staff. She also throws soiled napkins in their direction.
Wow, kind of just...
Felger's in here. He just had a stroke. I just saw a blood vessel burst. Right.
Way
to his forehead.
Whip it over there at the Timbits.
What if this was like the Woods' favorite coffee shop and this happened? Felger would never go back regardless.
He would never touch her again. You actually set foot in that place where that happened?
She'd be done.
Careful there, Mr. Bonesy. Don't order the chocolate stick at the Tim Hortons there. Don't know what you're going to be getting.
Why'd you guys get the French crullers, the brown ones?
Oh, not the French crullers there either, Mr. Bones.
Well, I'm kind of disgusted with it.
It is what it is. There's a select few around here that are just like that.
Tim Hortons says
most mind-blowing quote of the entire story, the select few. And again, if you haven't seen it, you would hear that, and you would hear what happened in this Tim Hortons, and you would think this woman is homeless or something. There's some sort of a factor to this. You see the video, and you're like, wait a minute, this does not fit the bill.
Well,
this woman does not look like the person that
never would think
this.
She could go that much.
That to me is the most fascinating part of it because I said it once, I'll say it again. Kind of hot. yeah.
Everyone has
watched the video.
She's the Bo Derek of ladies that would choose to pull down their pants
for people
and
who would
business at the counter at the Tim Hortons.
For people who would do that in a public restaurant, just drop trowels, squat like they're doing something with a physical therapist trying to get over a back surgery, do what she did. You take all those people, pick her up, she's a 10. She's 10 out of 10, that one. And I salute her. Be the best. She is the best looking public restaurant defecator in all of Canada.
Go big or go home.
Yeah.
She couldn't make it.
Show me someone who's done that that's better looking than she is. I don't care if it's black and white surveillance footage. I can tell. I looked at it. How closely did you look?
Close enough. I guess not close enough is what I should say.
Well, go back and look again. Do your job.
Waffles watching like 18 times on his computer. In there.
Do your homework.
All right, I will. I'll do my homework.
All right. I think we heard enough of that.
That's enough of that.
We're good. Get out.
Go to timhortons.ca.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. More reasons why I like Alex Cora. He's sort of setting a record straight with Carson Smith, and he humanizes himself by complaining about the two twins at home. Here you go.
With Carson. Do you not think of something that you need to talk about?
We will. I guess today was a busy day from getting up at 5:30 in the morning with the twins to coming all the way here, and I mean, they were bad today. Yeah. Oh God. I was feeding them for lunch and I quit. I was like, dude. I went to Angelica. I was like, hey, I gotta go to a ballpark. It's been a tough one today. But yeah, we'll talk. Yeah.
Got two babies at home. I don't have to worry about the third one here. I'll get to him when I get to him. You missed a great opportunity there. put him in there. Who's worse to deal with, your 10-month-old twins or Carson Smith? Carson Smith, what's his excuse?
I think he kind of
at least
told
the twins
that.
Have an excuse. They're 10 months old.
He told you that in a roundabout way. I have too much on my plate. Worry about.
Are you kidding me? I wouldn't worry about this idiot. He's not going to pitch for us anymore. I'll get to him when I get to him.
My girlfriend and Helica.
Yes. Yes.
You think Kelly Pedroia would help him out?
I'm going to the ballpark. It's noontime. I'm out of here. You deal with this.
I got to go.
Seriously, nanny. He should put a nanny in his contract.
What's he making here? About $150,000?
No. Are you kidding me? He's making millions of dollars as the manager of the Red Sox. I would have that in the deal.
I know. He's got to get that afternoon drive money. Get that. Get the nanny.
Nanny.
Yeah.
Have a nanny.
I understand you want to be a part of the full experience and you want to do everything, but...
Make some human!
No, you don't.
Make some human.
What time is that guy getting home from the ballpark
last
night?
Let me tell you, if you have babies right now at home, you're going to like your kids a lot more when they're 3 and 4 than they are when they're 3 months and four months old.
That's a good
question.
I'm going
to guarantee
that. So what time is he getting home from the ballpark? Maybe midnight?
12:30? 1? You got to wrap it up, right?
Once everything's done?
Then he gets up at 5:30.
Getting up at 5:30.
Well, you know how baseball is. Everyone's got to go out for a beer.
And you got to
Price is pitching today. He probably didn't sleep.
He's got to be at the park by what? 11 a.m. The latest.
Most guys get there around midday.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, you're involved, father. Zoe, you are. I am.
The full experience at 10 months old. Let me tell you,
dog.
You're right. I was ready to be over that.
Very wise man at this very radio station said, I don't have much use for them until they're about 7 years old. And that man...
No, I don't agree. 3 or 4 months is better than 3 or 4 years.
Oh, I disagree.
No. I mean,
I disagree. My kids can be epic pains in the ass, but at the end of the day...
You give them Benadryl, knock them out.
It's way better than having them.